having a bunch on the history, let's know. Not just praying through a bombshell, and not just even performing chesed, but becoming a better person. Knowing yourself, dissecting your personality, and improving your spirits one by one. And the more you know about yourself, the more you know about your emotions. I know it's a girly thing, talk about emotions. It's about what I'm going to get to. The easier it is to sort of dissect, understand, and say, okay, I want to be better here, I want to be better there, I want to change this, I want to change that. Take it on this. How do you be a more complete person? How do you beat jealousy? How do you stem anger? How do you become more sympathetic? How do you become more robust and more energetic, more cautious, more honest, less of a towel slanderer? How do you watch your tone? Less judgmental? How do you become a better person? Once you become a better person, every single mitzvah, every single religious moment is going to ask as you undergo or experience that moment as a better person. You're just a high, dignified individual. So how do you sculpt a better self? Everyone can succeed in the external world. You have a half a brain, you go to school, and you work hard, you become a good lawyer, you become a good doctor, you become the hardest thing is to change your life. There's an old expression, first I wanted to change the world, then I realized I couldn't change the world, so I decided to change my family. Then I realized I couldn't change my family, so I just focused on changing myself. That's a lie. It's a cliche, but it's a lie. You know what really happens in life? People try to change themselves, and then they realize they can't. It's too hard to try to change the family. And then when that goes haywire, because in the fight of a cat and dog, they are trying to change the world. And I know all those world beaters that are out there trying to change the world, and 30% to 50% of that have to first realize it. A good number of them go ahead and look inside themselves. So sometimes it's a sorry excuse for just looking at yourself and trying to make that person. All these world beaters, all these we've seen over the last couple of months, the politicians, the heroes, the baseball players, the people who get up on their platforms and speak like rabbis, like this rabbit, they go to change themselves. How do you change yourself? What are the tricks? So I'm going to go through each week, each night this week, different trick. Taking the meetings. Different meetings each night, 8 or 9 sessions. I'm going to try to see how we can pull out that change. Okay? Test morale. Please, guys, hold on to these focus here. Okay, I can't keep printing them out. The public's not going to be printing them out. I want you to take this year seriously. So I think the time to prepare a safer for you. Believe me, you don't have this. Most of the Musar Sfarim written today, many of them aren't that modern. They don't necessarily speak to the world that we live in. We'll talk about this a little bit later. These are sources that I will try to debunk for you after, and hopefully we'll be able to hear a modern take on some of these tricks. So let's see what we're going to talk about tonight. Yes?
Are you going to discuss breaking and breaking good and bad habits respectively?
Absolutely. It does nothing less. Let's start. Page number 1. Even though now what we're going to talk about there, gratuitously, nothing is gratuitous. Empathy. Oh boy, that sounds like a real girly thing. Empathy, feelings, emotions. You know, a long time ago, we were in Egypt, and babies were open to Nile as fodder for reptiles to consume. And I'm on the side of all feudals, you divorce his wife, you'll have it. I said, why should I get babies for alligators? And Miriam rose up. Sometimes you have people that rise up in vision and courage and fortitude and say, Abba, you can, you're a leader. People will see your example and they will divorce their wives. We don't play divine calculus. We follow moral responsibilities even when the world around us crumbles. Ask anyone who took an interview for Bush. One of the first questions I ask them is, if you could climb back into a time machine, if there's any period in Jewish history, where would you like to go? You know what my answer is? One of my answers, I'd like to go back to 1945 and climb into the minds and the hearts of those who walked out of concentration camps and got married 3 weeks later to survivors, just so they could name people after their lost relatives. What would you think? The children in this nightmarish world. Futility, hopelessness, nightmares, and you have the children, kids, and families. Now, I look back at 2020 hindsight, and they were providing, and they were producing the generations of pioneers that could usher in the Mashiach. Can you imagine that? They didn't know that, but they were creating you and your parents that are rebuilding this country and offering the final chapters of Jewish history. And they didn't know that. What strength must it have taken to maintain, hold the line, and do what you do, even if the board of calculus doesn't seem to make sense? That is the responsibility of the Jew. Can't play God. I have to follow my moral responsibilities. You don't try to play God, because the chizuk is so often. It's prophecy. Who do you see his grandchild would be? Menashe, so he said, you know, I might not have any children. He felt deathly ill until the woman came to him and said, this is one. You do yours, and God listens. You do yours, and this is what Miriam first spoke to her father Amram. You, Amram, do yours. Normal people stay married to their wives. Normal people have children. I don't care what's happening around the world around you. You hold the line. God has his calculus. You have your responsibilities. So I'm really inspired. So he took Yochevet, but he cashed basically as possible. He took her back. That's why the Torah doesn't tell us who he was, because he was like an icon. He said, we just issued basically as possible, because they are kind of civilizing. And 2 months later, right there, the authorities come in, take this baby, and start chucking him into the water. And everyone starts smirking and very, you big prophetess, you courageous heroine, that your vision trashed, because look what you've done. So what is the pasuk, right? She's hopeless. She has no resolution. She has no solution. She can't repair a broken world. So verse number 2. Vayehi, we'll start with, we'll turn the page 2 and then we'll circle back. Source number 7. We're going to start with 7. We'll never start with source 1. We'll rarely start with source 1 because I just get into it. I don't know where I'm heading. She builds a little ark, source 7. And she's crying tears of agony, watching her little brother float down the Nile. But the Masul says, they are. But they said, she stands by the Nile River, just watching her brother float down the Nile. What was she doing in that day? She can't save Moshe. She doesn't know that a few minutes later, Batya Batparo will retrieve Moshe from the Nile and she'll be able to reunite Moshe. As far as she's concerned, Moshe will be consumed by voracious alligators within moments. You know what she does? She stands there, and sometimes when a human being is brought to a situation where they have no choice, you still don't abandon people, even if it means you. Even if it means that it's a pointless and futile situation, you stand there and you feel someone's pain. Most of the time, like we're fasting, we have the ability to actually really give pain. Give you money, give you some food, help you out, relieve your suffering, talk to you. Sometimes, you don't have those resources. Conditions don't allow it. The only thing you have left is your heart, and no one can see your heart. And you allow yourself to feel someone's pain. And during that day, had no recourse. Had no solutions, had no fishnet, had no policeman she could pay off, had no place to hide Moshe in. She stood there watching Moshe's little arm and watching. Remember the famous debate between the Akiva? You know the famous debate between the Akiva and the Navas? Two people walking in the desert, one flask of water. If you split the water, they'll each die. If one person drinks the water, one will live, one will die. What should the Akiva say?
Take water for yourself, because who knows that your blood is
traveling. So, say what? Is it going to be helpful for two people to die? But what does Benanas say? Well, Benanas is an idiot.
Both die.
That doesn't make sense. But the water.
He says you should take it.
No. You're both going to die. You know why? Don't abandon someone. And to him, abandoning a person is a fate worse than both people dying. He don't possibly like him. He possibly like the day again. But there is a moral concept of not abandoning someone and of suffering with another person. Suffering alongside another person. You know what happens? I speak a lot in the States. You see me coming through the States. I speak in churches. I speak in schools. I speak in schools. And everyone's always asking me, what should we do when terror strikes? How can we help? They're always expecting the same answer. Supply an ambulance and come with trips and give us money. I say, you know what? I want 3 things for you. Number one, maintain your moral clarity. Don't let people convince you that we're the aggressor and that they're because it's not true. Because we're taking every possible effort to spare your life, even if it comes at the cost of our lives. 5 years ago in Jenin, we got a carpet bomb 2 blocks of Jenin. Bush's carpet bomb half of Afghanistan and 3/4 of Iraq. Because we moved to a terrorist holdup in civilian areas, and I had to come meet them, make cousins with family members. We're fighting these wars, and we went house to house and suffered 16 soldiers. Two, maintain unity. If you can't judge yourself in the past, don't panic now. Panic is illegitimate. Fear is appropriate. Fear and question are appropriate responses. Panic is illogical, and that's concerning me. And the third one, which is the hardest and the most important, one, which is the terrorist. On a day in which we're burying our heroes who decide to live in this land and build history and put themselves on the line, put a full fight on their back because Jews need to stand in this land and complete the spiral one being terminated and get back to the shaft and finally rebuild in 2,000 years of amnesty. On the days that we bury those heroes, how dare you go to a sports game or to a movie or to shop in a mall for luxury? I remember September 11th, it wasn't even Jews by the way, it wasn't a Jewish tragedy. I was frozen. A lot of people trapped under steel on concrete. It's nothing in their last breath except to buy their parents and their children on the cell phones. I couldn't do anything. I had to feed my kids. I had to feed my shiva. But I couldn't do it. I watched movies and I was pinning myself. I shrunk my life down to its bare minimum. I had respect and sympathy for people who were suffering. 2 weeks ago, when this bulldozer went on a rampage, remember? You guys even know what happened? My family, my larger family, the 30 people family was supposed to get together that night for dinner. Nothing special, just to get together. I'm the oldest sibling, I said, we are not getting together tonight. We cannot sit there in a restaurant in Yerushalayim and enjoy ourselves. What people are thinking? Not normal people have people die, tragedies happen, you can't stop life. But these moments, you want a challenge? Here's a challenge. The national challenge as well as the personal challenge. You have tickets to the Mets game that day? If Hans Michel is a terror attack, burn it. We'll give them to someone else. You don't belong in Chase Stadium when we're sitting on freshly cut graves, the Yankee Stadium, freshly cut graves, burying martyrs. You don't belong in a movie house. You want to go home, eat, work out, do your homework, you're on the swim team, whatever it is, continue your own life, but don't go beyond it. Don't go into that world of entertainment. Because if people suffer, you don't abandon them, and Miriam doesn't abandon Moshe. She stands there, Batesatzah. Look at that word, Batesatzah, 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 Batesatzah. Live there, Maya, Sando, Batesatzah. What does Batesatzah mean? She stands strong. Yitziv. Yitziv Melech. Yitziv Melech. Remember Lot's wife? Yitziv Melech. Yitziv means standing upright. And that's the answer, but after, the kind of the usher, there's nothing will shake her. Even though she lives in a hopeless world, and she has absolutely no practical answer. And that is the logic of Netanas. And you know, the first person to exercise that logic, the first person not to abandon someone, even though it's a pointless moment, you're just walking back into a land of death, but you can't abandon someone, happen. No.
No.
No. No. Who's the first person not to abandon? I'll give you a hint. She?
She's not here.
Yes. You? No. I know the end of the story. This is a painless, we know, old lady who was a betrayer. She was disloyal. She left during the famine. She's not going to be welcomed with open arms by the starving Jews of Beit Lahem. And Rus decided, and Rus is the enemy. The Jews is the sworn enemy of the Jewish people at this day. He got an enemy agent returning with a traitor who has betrayed her people. Who the heck is going to open their house to these people? And Arba makes the rational decision. Arba passes like a victim. Arba says, look, I have 80 food anyway, so let one person die and I'll go back and die and I'll go away to each other. And I understand Arba. Arba says, I'm going back with you and I'll die with you. Basher Kamunamur Basher Tenechelech! Where you were better, I'll be better. And she has absolutely no hope for life. But she's strong enough to be able to feel people's pain with something. And that is the first stage of the kindness. People don't like feeling pain. It makes you uncomfortable. They don't like sharing. You move away. You try to like protect yourself. Not physically. You see a handicapped person, you don't like it. You sort of get them all physically uncomfortable. You walk the other way in the morning, and you don't want to be rude, so you look, and you don't really like looking, so. Person comes to your door and asks for it stuck and they're stinking and starving and they're wasting your time. So you play basketball, you take out, you check the money for them, 3 points, you don't pay them, you're talking, here's the money. They want your money. They want your heart. They want to know the team cares. They want to know that you're willing to take time to listen to their story and do whatever you can. Do you know that if someone comes to your door and you don't get stopped up, you are over and you sit there like akin to nothing wants to them. Worse than nothing wants to. You have absolutely no right not to get stuck with the person at your door. I know there's a problem. It's having a good time. It's an offense. I don't know. I would rather go to my grave $20,000 poorer than be involved with Mrs. Bucko once. It's like everyone that comes to my head. And I know that some of them don't deserve it. I would rather. I will spend $20,000 in my own types of shtus, Michigan's, to not to spend $20,000 into a few favors just to avoid the one moment that I'll fail to perform the mitzvah, it's worth it to me. That mitzvah is worth $20,000 down the drain. They don't just want your money. They need to know another question I ask one of the two. What chesed do you perform? Chesed, this stage is crucial. You know, some of your schools give you an opportunity, some of your schools don't. You have an opportunity to take it. And when I say chesed, I don't mean delivering perfect jobs and talking about. I mean coming into contact with real people who suffer, with handicaps, with families, mentoring, shadowing, teaching handicaps, visiting summer camps, highway flying tests. Because the moment that you're angry, you know why people don't like feeling pain? Because you try to delude yourself that you're vulnerable. It's kind of like, not me. That happens to me. Thank God. There's a poor guy standing at your door, and you've got a comfortable car and a comfortable home and whatever else you have. Ask yourself the next question. He's here and you're there. What would it take for the roles to be reversed? What would it take? What would it take for you to be in his state? A flash, an accident, a split second change, everything you have in this life can be taken from you. Everything. And people don't want to take it. And that's why they hold themselves off from sympathy. Because it forces you to realize the reality. You know, the secret is, guys, the best thing you can do is realize the reality. Because once you realize you're vulnerable, man, you'll appreciate the life that you're on. Once you realize how fragile it is, then you learn to appreciate, then you'll waste your time, then you relish. You know, my happiest moment as a person, my happiest moment, was also my most frightened moment. Happy to be happy and frightened at the same time. My happiest moment is my little 2-year-old on my shoulder. I'm shaking with the conviction, boy, I love him so deeply. I'm thrilled. I'm a little kid. I sleep in the kitchen, Brooklyn, and Wilton. But I'm standing there vigilant and cautious that you shouldn't fall. Give a girl up. I'm happy, but I'm shaking. When you realize that life is vulnerable, that life is temporary, that it's transcendent, you begin to really appreciate it and take things for granted. You can think of yourselves. I'm sure there were times in your life that you took things for granted. You never handed to a silver platter. And there's a moment for some of you that things just didn't work out. You had some adversity, your parents didn't give you what you want, your parents had economic debt, whatever it was. That's when you really grow up as a person. That's when you really find your identity. It's not all just headed my way. What was that only a favor? I got to really appreciate the opportunities I have to take advantage of them. So this guy is not just about me, though, to reach out and give you my pain, which you feel that I'm identified with. It's about me, you are. Every trait is reflexive. It's not just serving other people. It's kind of better self. And what did you know? Because Miriam stands there, typifies him probably because she can help him. Moshe was that trait. It's almost weird. Moshe never really needs him. Now, Zuchabedi stops from your Rabbi, who indeed is milked by a Rabbi. That's not merely at all. All of a sudden, everything comes around and goes around. It's almost like genetics, almost magical. But you need to source that Rabbi's part one, but you need to find out even how heavy. But you now have the emotion. Moshe grows up, lives in his pampered life in the house of Paro, the palace of Paro. But you know Moshe, the Israel of Paro, the God, the single son, and he sees their suffering. The Irish, the three, the king, the Shabri, the Achab. How easy would it have been for Moshe to just look the other way and run back into the pit, turn on the TV and just throw himself at it? Here is his moment. This is his moment. And we either leave it or we don't. We either stuck in that cesspool for a few hundred more years or we leave it. It's all dependent upon one emotional decision. Will you or won't you care? Look at that. Will you or won't you care? Look at the pasuk. How many times does it say the word vayah? Vayigdal Moshe vayetzer achav vayar v'sivul son vayar ish mitzri. The second vayar is the empirical data that he sees, and ish mitzri, torturing a Jew. The first vayar is not the empirical sight, it's the vision. He decides to see the field. Sight is a faculty, vision is an art. Everyone has sight. The vision that counts. humans. Everyone sees things in this world, but do you really see? Like our God, let's see our God, everyone's so much in love, but we can't tell us he is. Pinchas, so they are Pinchas, and all those other are annoying. Everyone's just saying, what was happening? Pinchas actually decided to make an interest. Actually committed to resolve the situation. What are we two rations? What was Rashi saying by God? The simple song, so let's tell you what it is, part two. Nasan, Ina, the legal deals in this place. It's my words. You see that? Nasan, Ina, the legal. He could have looked the other way. He could have immunized himself. He could have inoculated. He could have hardened his heart. Nasan ain't a Filippo. He learns it from Maria. Nasan ain't a Filippo. She can stand by the Nile and feel my pain without any solution. I can feel their pain. Maybe I have a solution. Sympathy is contagious. If you give it to people, you receive it from people. If you give it to people, remember the last time someone actually felt your pain. Remember the last time you opened up to someone. I know what you're going through. I feel it. It's a beautiful manish. It doesn't appear in these sources. In Parshas Bahalosva, Miriam has to us. And Moshe comes in to visit her. You know, Moshe says, or he rolls in our door, as Moshe says, Miriam, I know exactly what you're going to ask to us. When did Moshe answer us? Split second. And Moshe's trying to identify deeply. So he tries to think in his past, what's the closest I've been to where you are? It's not the same, but let me try to feel what you're going through. Answer us. So Moshe feels sympathy and pity for the people. So what happens? So let's read, turn the page to the next source, and you'll see, because of Moshe's sympathy, who had sympathy with the people. Source number four, Vayi Vayamim HaRabim Mahen, Vayama Asmelech Mitzrayim, Vayanchu Vnei Yisrael Min Avoda, Vayizaku, Vatal Shal Asam Lohokim Min Avoda. Line number four, Vayar Elohim Esbinei Yisrael, Vayeda Elohim, Eben, Rashi. Source number five, Vayeda Elohim, Nasan Alehem Lei. Does that language sound familiar, guys? Nasan Alehem Lei. Where is that language taken from? Rashi not about Hashem, but Rashi about Moshe decided to feel sympathy for those Jews suffering. Just as an outflow sympathy for you guys. Here is the birth of redemption. It's the birth of redemption from Egypt, and it's the birth of redemption in the days of birth from Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim is a terribly tragic Sefer. Any one of you study Sefer Shoftim? One step forward, two steps back. God sends a prophet, we fail again. God sends Yiftah, we fail. God sends Gideon, we fail. God sends Shimshon, we fail. And backwards and forwards. Vayei, vinei, shloka, shoftim. Finally, there's someone that breaks the cycle. Shoftim is first. And the rest of his work is done. And he's done for Shlomo. And finally, we move to Sefer Shoftim. And the futility, the sarcasm, the Yishkal Yashav Yehiyasa, the hopelessness to Davna Melchi Yashav Akisei Machusa. At every stage, it takes someone acting out of the box if you need people. If you don't act out of the box, if you don't go that extra, if you don't feel that, if you just care about yourself, then you're stuck in bondage, you're stuck in your own personal prison. I always tell the guys, what does it mean to be successful in Bush? So many different boys, so many different backgrounds, so many different interests. What does it mean? What I want from you one day? Say, one of the questions I expect to ask you when I meet you on the street one day, what is the ideal beyond your own life that you're living? What does that mean? You can't live just for yourself, for your comfort, for your pride, for your home, for your... There's got to be some ideal beyond your own comfort and satisfaction that you are committed to, and that is idealism. You know, for some people, it's just raising a family as best as they can. But idealistically, not selfishly, and egocentrically. I want to bring children to this world. I want to nurture them. I want to give them Torah. That's an ideal. My son is about a year away from his bar mitzvah. I decided that each of my children, mitzvah, Hashem, to give me the kavod, I want to learn an entire Seder of Shas with them by their witness. That's my gift. That's my bar mitzvah gift. I don't want to give them a PlayStation or a bike. I'm going to give them a Seder of Shas. Because when I was your age, I had a hard time learning Gemara. I didn't understand the words, it was breaking my tongue, and I couldn't say tosos. From my children to 17, I wanted to know Hefer Shas. That's my gift to them. That's idealism. I have a thousand better things, so I'm supposed to do it, and I sit back and I try to learn. We're good. Your idea wants to serve Jewish community, you want to study Torah, you want to do chesed. You've got to live for something beyond yourself. Every person is different. You can't be stuck in your own prison. You can't be stuck in your own selflessness or selfishness. It's got to be something beyond. And it's simply the easier to keep it open. It's a door to identify deeply emotional. That people are afraid to feel that sympathy. And redemption is born when people feel that sympathy. Remember Yosef HaTzadik? Another redemption. Redemption in Parshas Bereishis. The state of Bereishis also has a bit of a struggle. The struggle of the brothers, the pain felt by Yaakov, the disunity of the family, the friction, the play, the manipulation, the hurt feelings. Source number one, we get back to source number one. What does source number one tell us? Velo yachol yosef lisapek v'chol ha-nitzavim olav v'yikra ha-tziru k'vishmi alai v'lo ha-magish titov l'svada yosef erachav v'yitein yaskolo b'vchi v'yishmuru. It's all right, keep telling you before we call it back. V'yishmuru mitzvayim v'yishmuru beis paro. Yosef HaTzadik, the grand master, who's orchestrating this whole state, who has called down his brothers, who has drawn the young men unexpectedly down to Egypt because he wants to see him against his father's better judgment. And now Yosef HaTzadik cracks. He's unable to get through all the schools how much more he wants. He doesn't about that again. We'll tackle the about that. This is not the end of the one. Yosef had many, many more plans, many more ideas in the hopper as to how this play and this situation would unfold. And he was orchestrating, he was pulling the puppet strings. But he broke down. Couldn't do it anymore. Lost his mojo? Lost his guts? Yosef HaTzadik chooses a more heroic path. He says, I do not want to continue to impose pain. I want to feel the pain. I cannot hold down. The law, the hope, the sake, please. I pay. But he grows. What's he going to do? He's going to lie. But he takes us to love the plea because he allows himself. He makes the decision that one should make natural. Because until now, he was holding back. Look at Pasuk, look at source 2. That's a few parshas earlier when he sees Binyamin. But Yosef, he needs the rachma, he feels his heart welling up, he feels the tears pouring. But occasionally, goes, he wants to cry, but he doesn't. But he dare not steal his brothers. He's going to dare not show weakness, he dare not trust everything. So he runs into the room, the Yavar Chagra, but Yavishat, he cries there. But Yerchat Kavat, he washes his eyes. But he'd say, by Yisachar! By Yisachar! He owns himself back. I will not share the pain. You deserve to suffer. Father's going to suffer with you. Damn the consequence! Because I've got my dreams, and I will fulfill them as God wants. I don't care whose backs I trample over, whose hearts I go. Because this is something that I have to do for the future of my soul. I don't care. Idealism run amok. Ambition run amok. And to me, heroism is a question of name. Pasuk Aleph is a much better picture of being a human being. And he shares those answers. And love the whole truth. That's not a weakness, that's a decision. Believe me, you're going to know something. He decided not to. And he decided, better not to! It's better to cry. It's better to suffer with another human being. And that's it. And he loses that callousness. That's the decision which everyone has made. The guy in class is just not cool. He's not on the team. He's not strong. He's not. He's making fun of him. He's going through a hard time. Our sister, our parents. Are we strong enough to open that heart and let it feel? Because clearly you can tell the difference when someone's feeling the pain. You can see when it's just mechanical and someone's going through the motions and helping you out. You can see when it's a deep degree of sympathy. Understand what you're doing. Because I'll tell a story. Yochanan ben Zakkai lost a child. So all of his talmidim came in to console him, to be Menachem. And you know they tried to console Yochanan ben Zakkai? They tried to generalize the situation. Whenever someone suffers, you lose your proportion. Suffering so hard. He said, look, people suffer, it's normal, it's the way of the world, we're here for you. That's what Nihum Abelin, it's not Abelin, it's not Shiva, it's everyone comes to what we have. the way of the world. You're not the only one. You're not suffering alone. People suffer. So one donor came in and said, you know what, I'll generalize. I'm the lost child. Lost heaven. Another person said, I'll generalize. Another lost child. Another lost child. That's the same. And each one described a different member or a different personality from Tanakh, the lost child. Our lost child. Tuchi. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, let's read what he said. Turn to the last source on this page. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Kishimei Fenel, Pesach Kish, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Nezer Sintamino Menachma, Tamim Kedim Kinsole, Nichna Sidi Lezer, Amo Rebbe, Rechav Rebbe Nadar, Amo Emo, Arch of Rishon, Amo Rebbeis. Amar Lo, also Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, line number five, Lo Dainani Shani Mitzdai, Beatzmi, oh wow, is that enough now that I'm suffering with my child at the scarfly tarshal and reaching out to quite far from the ocean? Could you imagine crying about a person you never got losing a child? If you have been done, I felt human suffering so deeply, he was able to climb back in history and cry about other than cry about Aaron and cry about David and do what they were doing. That makes a strong heart. If you have been Zakkai is the descendant of Rus and America. I mean, genetically. I don't know who he came from. But he picked up that trait. He picked up that ability to recognize and appreciate what they're doing. And you have to sit down with people and have that capacity even when they deserve it. Sometimes, oh, they deserve it. I can understand that. Chas v'shalom, a person is born handicapped with a deformity. Now, his fault. He was born that way. Person was in a car accident. They don't fault them their own. Person is a victim of some terrible abuse. They didn't belong. How can someone is a criminal and they suffer? Oh, that person, he got what he deserves. He had it coming. He dug his own grave. He made his own bed. I don't have to feel for that person. No. Human beings are human beings. And the only time in Shas that the Hafgurah HaKamacha, the Zechal HaGod Matar, we'll talk about this a little bit. The Hafgurah HaKamacha, you know, you paralyze it. Then when you perform Skila, push him off to the fourth floor, not the second floor. Because if you push him off to the fourth floor, die more quickly, and it's more considerate. And you push him off. He's Bechal Shas. He's a criminal. He's a malicious evil doer. He should give him the worst. No, human beings are human beings. And if you respect human beings, respect yourself, respect other human beings. You identify when you're suffering, and you can't stare at the death because there's capital punishment. Don't just give me easiest. For our law, we say nothing. Give them the easiest type of thing. And nothing brings Christ. What they is in the zeros is cancer brings Christ. Parents. You can tell them, we're not animals, we're not animals, we're not cows, we're not seeing sheep. I mean, it's our parents. Parents like this. Always parents and loving. What does the guards have to do? Let me tell you a little bird joke. A guy walks into the shul one day, kipper. This pet parrot in a little cage, he says, this parrot is the best chazan you've ever heard. He says, come on, we're trying to get serious here. Just show you kipper, we're diving by Shannon, get your parrot out of here. I'm telling you, this parrot is a great chazan, let him shot. Come on, wait, you idiots. Okay, he puts his parrot on the side, and out this kipper. Continues, advances, Livrei, Maria, Shabbos, Mursa, finally, time for Yigal, the Chafi comes over to the rabbis. This is, can't do it anymore. Doubt no one dominates. So the rabbis said, okay, we're going to go around. So he goes around to the membership, can you doubt it? Can you doubt it? Can you doubt it? Again, they're not doubting. Sun is setting. It's almost time for Shabbos. We have to start a little before Shabbos. He says, look, give the parish out. Parish comes walking up to the Bima. Raised the stand a little bit, he starts singing. Unbelievable tefillahs and Gila. They're crying in the aisles. People are pouring their hearts out in tefillah. They've never, the tefillah goes till 12 at night. They're spellbound, mesmerized by this guy in parrot's voice. The most stirring and inspiring and people down there will remember. So all run over to the parrot over at the other he says, this guy, you know, the parrot's incredible. He should go, he's going to become a husband. I said, yeah, so I keep telling you, all he wants to do is sit and learn all day. What am I supposed to do? Birds! Say, look at are, nothing be why? Why are you so easy to do nothing with Sarah? He said, oh, because I'll say, oh, we didn't know because these people suffered. Sarah suffered. He said, for 7 days or 14 days alone in quarantine, in solitary confinement. The last thing they want to do is pour salt on the wound and start shelling out money for big carbonos, like regular sinners. The nuns are counting 29 days, 29 days. We got one, some dead piece of meat flung his leg, walked under a tree. 29 days, down the tube, got to start again. Now, it'd be 29 days, it'd be 29 weeks, depending on how long he's been serious. So he's suffering enough. Oh, force him to shell out big bucks. These are the people you're having around Mount Solomon and Sarah and Mount Sarah. Why is this person getting sour? Won't be sit alone for 14 days? Because they're walking around slandering, washboarding people. But look at him. This guy's so good, you're not coming. You're not serious. Who told you to start? Now they walk. We're talking about some resolution to learn. It's on now, we walk around the other one. You say. And if you want to come in Mount Sarah, then you're the careful. It's not so hard. You got me yet. Come and do it. The answer is same. You got to who suffers. How we suffer, and why we suffer, is the same decision. First says, you deserve a marriage, you deserve a karma, you're conflict, you're in kapas, but you have to bring that. You have to bring kapas, you have to bring yourself. Bring it into your kapas, bring it into your karma. Yeah, there's a trade of something, and you know what? You won't find it in Muslim Moses. It's called, I put it on the page, it's called Mitzkaya Mukhaya. Are the able to be Mitzkaya Mukhaya? Are you able to open that heart and feel what other people are feeling? And that's how we can change. Let's talk about different traits of the position. You are at a book, actually, that's a Russian. Watching the comment. Where did I learn about chaos? How do you control anger? Jealousy. Jesus, how do you become someone who's energetic? A lot of different leaders. But the other leader is the need of sin. That's why this is missing. Okay? I think we got a little bit of that. We're just starting out. Let me go through everyone's name again. Does anyone ask questions about this or anything else? I think I'd like to end early sometime, just for a general question.
Let me just go over the names again. Okay. Gershie Adler never came, did he?
Gershie Adler.
Oh, Gershie Adler. Okay, good.